no tax.
Thoughts and prayers are with those who've lost loved ones and those whose lives have been affected by the storm. You need to know that America will be with you in your hour of need.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Good night, Irene. She came in with a bang, and maybe she's going out with a whimper. In some spots, in others, it's been nightmarish. It depends on where on the coastline we're talking about. So I imagine that many of you listening to this show right now are breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief. And others are still trying to figure out what's what between flooding and trees being uprooted and power problems and all the things that go along with a hurricane or a tropical storm. What's happened is, and this is probably going to take weeks, this recovery. What happened was New York, yes, there were signs of the hurricane flooding in the Holland Tunnel, which, as a kid, how many times I went under the Holland Tunnel. I can't even imagine water in the tunnel. Yet, you had Grand Central Station wide open. You had the subway system closed down. So, same thing, not a lot of people going in and out because all of the transit was toast for Sunday. And the same thing in Philadelphia and in New Jersey. And it really is state by state, as far as how much of a blast they got from Irene. All the New York airports, for any of you traveling, are open on Monday. 4 million people total. 4 million people total. Nada. In the dark. No power. Hopefully they had generators and flashlights and all the things that we always talk about on ATN. 20 people so far, at least, dead in 7 states. So, again, it wasn't nothing, but it wasn't quite what was predicted. There was a lot of hype compared to what actually happened in some places. And in others, it was disastrous. For example, in looking at a map of the East Coast, one of the first things that stood out to me is Hatteras Island. Because North Carolina was talked about so much, I probably said North Carolina 30 times last week on the show. So it was a heavy toll on that state. 6 people were killed. Siding flew off houses. Thousands of houses are part of that darkness number I gave you, the 4 million. The Outer Banks, sadly, take a huge hit. Homes, property, all that kind of stuff. 2,500 people who didn't want to be evacuated were stranded on Hatteras Island because you had pounding surf that flew, I mean flew, over the dunes. I saw some of that video. It looked like it catapulted. You had roads that were covered in water and sand and all that kind of stuff. So what does it do? The flooding cuts off the island from any of the routes that lead to the mainland. So they were trapped. And there was a lot of damage on that island, a lot of damage. In fact, an emergency ferry is being sent to the island to bring in supplies. They took a helicopter tour and saw how bad it was, so they don't think they're going to get the ferry there until Monday. The people who wanted to stay behind, hopefully they were able to weather it. They had enough food, they have enough water, all that kind of stuff. I mean, the surge just chopped up the road, and the ocean washed right over it. And there were a bunch of traffic wrecks that happened during the storm, because probably what happened, and this is why that evacuation thing is not to evacuate or to evacuate. Once you decide you're not going to evacuate, you can't get in the car when you can't even see and try to drive away. And that's what happened. One person was hit by a tree limb. Another person was hit by a tree limb as well. Not in the car, but when they were feeding livestock. Another one had a heart attack when they were trying to put plywood over the window before the storm even came. So it was nasty. There's a great place where I one time had the fortune of spending a couple of days called Duck, North Carolina. It's right there on the Outer Banks. And the storm pushed the water from the Sound Inlet out to the sea, and it was pretty bad. There was water under living room doors, all that kind of stuff. Parking lots just flooded out, cars all over the place. In Kill Devil Hills, everything was boarded up, and they got hit. They had streets that were jammed with water, big waves, all that kind of stuff. This is part of what they expected to happen. This was predicted that North Carolina would definitely get slammed. Now, what about what happened a little bit further up in the east? What about New Jersey? In New Jersey, the governor there who declared a state of emergency like so many other governors did. In New Jersey, they had a lot of flooding. The obligatory pictures you see in the newspaper when you wake up the next day, if you're one of the four people that get a newspaper, or you flip on the internet, and what you see is houses and stop signs, the houses where the water is up to the steps. And so what happened was, like these other places, some of the areas, depending on how low-lying they were and how the winds were slammed with water. Like Point Pleasant Beach, lots of outages, lots of water, lots of flooding. Lake areas overflowed. Roads closed all over the place. Lots of damage. It's a place called Secaucus, New Jersey. Anybody ever hear of that? It's right near New York City. Perhaps some of you in Connecticut are listening to me right now, and you know exactly where that's at. About a third of the 6,000 people in Secaucus had no power. People were pumping water out of basements, and that was a big thing if you had a basement in the Northeast. Or try to figure out the other damage and what to do about it from overflows of rivers. Like I said, for example, in the Secaucus area, it would be the Hackensack River Basin that overflowed and was devastating. So for some, it was a horrible misfortune, of epic proportions because of the flooding and walls coming down and basements and all that kind of stuff. And then for others, it wasn't what they expected, and it wasn't, there was some water, but not as bad as they expected. And they're recovering from it. They might be a little bit in the dark, but otherwise they're okay. This show, we will take you through some other scenarios of some other things that happened to people as a result of Irene. The bottom line is the falling trees, all that kind of stuff. It could have been much worse. It could have been much worse. And maybe some of the people who evacuated in those mandatory evacuations spared themselves some of the horror of what would have been in their neighborhoods. There's lots of monetary damage attached, trust me. Up and down the East Coast, probably $1 billion in damage, at least. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano said that Tropical Storm Irene is still large and potentially dangerous because it's going up past Vermont and so on and so forth, headed to Canada. But I think some of the people who evacuated helped the situation. What a strange week. Our weekly rewind, we're heading back to Washington, D.C., and the earthquake, plus New Jersey and New York. What was that like? That's next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Wow, the second most powerful earthquake, they say, in Virginia's history was felt by millions of people on the East Coast. There were evacuations of all kinds of office buildings, and people were shocked because in the East, they're not used to earthquakes. No major injuries that we could find so far have been reported. They're saying that the quake was 5.8 in magnitude if it went to the Richter scale. Hit about 40 miles northwest of Richmond, and it apparently booted cell phone service in a lot of places. How interesting, because we were just talking about the strangeness with T-Mobile on our last show where so many people had problems with that cell service. I don't think the two are related, but can you imagine the way people walk around with their heads down on the phones, what that was like? Not to have your cell phone, because I said this before, tell me where you can find a pay phone. Here's the other thing, 2.8 aftershocks, 2.2, some of that stuff was recorded a little bit later in the afternoon. So it was felt up and down the East Coast. My mother, as many of you know that I've talked about, Kathleen Delaney, lives in the East, just a stone's throw away from Philadelphia in a place called Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hey, Mom.
Hey, Kate.
So what happened? What did you feel? What was that feeling like and what happened?
Well, I happened to be having a cup of tea at the time, and the house began to shake, and the tea sloshed down the front of me. And I didn't really know what it was because I'd never experienced an earthquake before, but the floors moved, and the dining room fixtures swayed back and forth, and then the doors inside the house were kind of going back and forth. Some slammed, some went back and forth and hit the wall and so forth. And it was very short-lived, but it was just a peculiar sensation because we'd never really had that kind of thing. And we have just small things. There was a man cutting a lawn, and he was standing there not knowing what to do about it because the earth, the grass was moving too. But other than that, it was very mild, and you knew it had to have been an earthquake, but there was no damage that we could see.
Did they evacuate because I heard that they evacuated buildings up and down the East Coast. Did they evacuate the high-rise buildings in Philadelphia?
Yes. Anything that was maybe above five floors swayed or shook. And so, of course, the taller ones, they immediately told the people to get out. It was basically for security reasons. So what I've seen on our news is the biggest thing that's happened is a couple windows shattered, but there was really no structural damage to speak of. And the only after effect right now is that the high-speed line was shut down and the rail service was delayed so that they could check the tracks. The bridges were checked immediately. And then everyone went out to do the tracks to make certain it was safe to put the trains out.
All right.
Just a little delay in going home.
So you're going to have to get earthquake insurance maybe now.
I don't think so.
All right, Mom. Love you. Thanks so much for that update.
Love you too, Kate. Bye.
Bye-bye. So we talked to my mother, who's in New Jersey, and just down the turnpike in Manhattan, they were feeling this earthquake. I cannot imagine a bunch of New Yorkers trying to figure out what was going on. Our pal Greg Stevin, one of the editors, of course, of Men's Health magazine, who we have on to talk about a plethora of things, is a Californian who is now living in New York. That had to be an interesting experience. Hey, Greg, thanks for popping on. I gave that introduction where I said you're from California. I'm sure when here you are in New York, you're not expecting an earthquake.
Oh, my gosh. I looked out the window. There were people running out of the building, flames shooting out of the building top, bricks falling to the street, cars careening into each other, people with bloody arms and appendages running down the street. Actually, I'm not sure the people on the street even knew there was a... First, let me tell you, I'm in an old building. I'm overlooking 7th Avenue, pretty much on the approach to the Holland Tunnel. This is a major artery for the city. And I'm in this old building. I, of course, felt the beginnings of an earthquake. And it was a long series. So there were a lot of very strong but smaller quakes. And they're doing construction in the building, in fact, on the floor right beneath me. And I thought they were doing something down there with a jackhammer or something. And when I finally figured out it was a quake, I got up and I did what they trained me in school in California. I went and stood in the doorway, and I turned around. And I cannot tell you, I've been in a lot of quakes in California, including the one that took down the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. Mm. And I could not believe how much the walls were swaying. I was physically watching the walls move back and forth, and I actually looked outside to see if there was a crane outside. I couldn't believe it was an earthquake like that here in New York. And what's interesting as a Californian is it felt completely different from the kind of quakes they have out in California.
Yeah, when you say that was a great description, by the way. Completely different because of how it sort of, it sounds like it unfolded sort of slowly for you as you were trying to figure it out.
I would say there was probably a series of four or five strong shocks, and yet they weren't, in California you get this jolt, and here it really was much more of a swang, and as part of a couple of these shocks, I literally was staring at the wall, amazed at how much the entire building was moving. And in California, you get a jolt, so it knocks things off the walls and it knocks things off the shelves. This was a very strong earthquake. Nothing fell. And I think nothing fell because the building was swaying instead of getting jolted. And I'm clearly not a geologist, but my guess is what we'll hear is that the kind of soil or ground formation we have here in New York, also an island, which may make a difference too, is very different than what you have in the San Francisco Bay Area.
What was the reaction of the people around you? Were there any people kind of milling around?
Well, I did. I'm in an office alone, and I did run out, and there were other people in the stairways, and some other people had run down to the street before I did. I'm on the fifth floor, so I really, as I was standing in the door jam, was debating, do I leave or do I stay? Also, interestingly, I looked around my office and I thought, what am I going to grab on my way out? I thought about my computer. I did grab my phone and my wallet, and I knew better than to get in the elevator, ran down five flights, and then some of the other people in the building were milling around on the street. But by then it was pretty obvious we had had the major jolt, and that it for some reason I just had a sense that we had probably that it was over and it was probably safe to go back inside.
Yeah, as everybody, I can imagine everybody in New York is buzzing about this. Tomorrow when you're on your way to work, you'll see it's going to be front page news, of course, in the Post and probably the Times, et cetera. I mean, this is just ripe for that water cooler buzz in New York,
absolutely.
I think.
And in fact, if you go, I was just on the phone with someone from the Huffington Post, and they're on the other side of, you know, they're due east of me, and we were comparing notes, and she's also a Californian, so we were kind of laughing about it. Yeah, and if you go online, all the news sites are, you know, did you feel it? It was a really good earthquake. It was a really good one. And as far as I've seen, I can't see any damage anywhere. I don't see anybody looking concerned. People are walking around the streets of Manhattan right now in front of me, you know, eating ice cream.
Wow, yeah, that's good. But here's the thing, though. You know this, and you talked about the Bay Bridge. I was in that area as well, and that was horrific what happened. Of course, they're terrible what happened to the people in and around San Francisco, so there's no comparison here. But sometimes a building, as you said, the swaying you saw, sometimes that will do something to the building. So I would assume maybe, not the building you're in, but some other buildings that might be a little shakier, they might have to check those buildings.
Well, you know, I don't know. They say this was a 5.9. I don't remember what the California quake, that quake, just to refresh people's memories, was actually during the World Series.
Yeah.
And it was the World Series between Oakland and San Francisco.
Right.
You couldn't, you know, it was kind of Stephen King-ish.
It was.
You know, there were people heading into the stadium and the bridge collapsed and things like that. And I think that's that jolting action. I don't remember how big of a quake that was, but it seems to me it might have been something like a 7.8 or something.
I think it was.
Dramatically bigger.
Yeah, huge
and
difference.
I was about an hour south of San Francisco when that quake hit. I was sitting in a coffee shop with a friend of mine who, she's probably 20 years older than me, and we're sitting there drinking coffee, and I felt this jolt. And I literally looked at her and I screamed, "Get under the table!" She told me later she thought I was going to assault her. And I just, you had no idea what was coming, but it was so strong. The last thing I wanted to do was be sitting under a chandelier in a Marie Callender's restaurant.
Yeah, no kidding. What a way to go. With maybe the best pies you might ever have, but I don't know that I would want to go out that way.
That's right.
For sure.
We came for the pie and we stayed for the quake.
Exactly. Get a T-shirt with that on and send it to your friend. Greg Stebbins, as always, fun to talk to you. Glad everything's okay in New York. We appreciate the update.
It's great to be here.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market has proven that's more like a casino than an investment. And if you've had enough and want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed several years ago, I said enough. Since then, I discovered a way to safely grow your money, cut taxes dramatically, get potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Just call 1-800-675-1640. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. On the web, go to safemoneybook.com or just call 1-800-675-1640. Again, that's 800-675-1640.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safol natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special. Or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Ooh. Ooh. This feels more like the National Geographic Channel. We're talking about disaster after disaster. Hey, hey, Kate Delaney hanging with all of you across this great nation. So New Yorkers are complaining that it wasn't much of a hurricane. That, yeah, it was wet and inconvenient and some flooding and a little bit of loss of power. But it certainly wasn't the monster that was being predicted. Meanwhile, in Vermont, where many of you are listening to ATN and have been for a very long time, we have a great audience in Vermont, you are soaked in Vermont. And in some areas, it's just a question of, you know, what's next. Pretty much most of the state was paralyzed, cut off by some horrible flooding. It was a tropical storm by then, but lots of roads were closed, homes underwater, not just up to the doorstep, but underwater. Bridges were completely kaput, collapsed, done for. One person died after being swept into a raging river. You know, that's always the danger. And the state was just pounded with rain and heavy winds, mostly hitting in the afternoon. Brattleboro is one of the places that was slammed a ton. Bennington and Windham counties were terrible. They called it catastrophic, some of the floodings, some of the flooding that was reported there. And the state capital, Montpelier, easy for me to say, was sitting there right in the eye of this whole thing, in the eye of this sucker, in a sense, because it's supposed to crest to about 20 feet overnight, so it could be pretty dicey, let's say, there. And there's absolutely no question, certainly, that in Vermont, they had a lot to complain about. A lot. In Connecticut, same thing. In Connecticut, there were some problems as well with floods and whatnot and power outages and that kind of stuff and, you know, rivers that quested, beat the boundaries where they just crested and flew over and into the streets, spilled into the streets and whatnot. But that was, like I said at the very top of the show, the key. Location, 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 as they say in real estate, unfortunately, in weather, it's the same thing. Did she hit you? How hard? Or did she miss you? That's the story of Irene. Not as awful as predicted, but certainly not nothing. Talk to the people whose houses are flooded, basements being pumped, streets that are ruined. Astounding things have happened. There's pictures of people boating through the middle of town in upstate New York. And here's the interesting thing. In New York, where most of the people are saying, you got to be kidding me, you closed the subways and whatnot for this, there still was flooding in the subway. All of the subway's 22 lines are supposed to be working by Monday, but they still had problems with it. So the subway deal was actually a smart thing. Can you imagine being on a subway and all of a sudden it's flooded? You're done. If you had massive flooding in the subway, I wouldn't risk that. Are you kidding? So needless to say, probably $1 billion of destruction, maybe even more. North Carolina all the way on up through Vermont, through the northeast, and into Canada. Our friends listening to us in Canada will get a taste of what Irene was all about. And this is all anyone was talking about for days. I mean, here in the show, we were captivated by it as well. There's a zillion other things that we could talk about and a million different directions that we could zig and zag in. But how could you ignore this? Because for the first time in that I can ever remember in my lifetime, New York was basically shut down. Wait, you're not in Manhattan? Try to escape from Manhattan because you're not going to do it with public transportation. And it was that way in a few other cities, big cities in the East Coast, very, very unusual. All right, coming up at the tail end of the hour, a man named Powell fights back. Colin Powell isn't buying what Cheney is peddling in his book. In his book, remember, or leading up to his book, Dick Cheney was saying that heads were going to be exploding all over Washington. But Powell, for one, is saying, I don't think so. And in fact, he says he calls them cheap shots. But we're going to let you hear that in our next segment as we roll through with a few odds and ends, including what happened in the Little League World Series. If you listen to America Tonight at all, thank you very much. If you've never listened to this show and you just happen to tune in, I'm glad you found us. One of the things we do each and every week, we do a little sports shorts, and it's a sports minute. And the minute focused on the Little League World Series, which has been around since 1947. And, of course, now you have all the international competition. And this is really a big deal. As you know, the wicked stepbrother to the College World Series, it's big money. It's hard to get into the stadium to see it in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, because so many people line up. And for the kids, by the way, that play it from 11 to 13 years old, it's a huge honor to have your team go that far and to get into the competition. So ultimately, what happened as the tournament wrapped up, we'll get to that too as well. So all of that and more as we head for the exits of the first hour. Quickly, though, let's finish with the Irene stuff. The cleanup could take days, they say, along the East Coast. So fixing traffic lights and cleaning up debris, because if the roads, of course, were covered by the flood and things were floating down in the streets, naturally you're going to have debris all over the place, and that takes at least a few days to clean up. So in most places, they're not going to necessarily bounce back and get back to normal right away, especially if the roads are impassable because of the fallen trees and the down power lines. I mean, you only have so many power people. They can't manufacture them. So, you know, they're drinking that five-hour energy, and they're out there working those long hours trying to get all this stuff restored. The extent overall, we don't know. So $1 billion, $2 billion, you know, you can't put we can guesstimate, and I say it's at least $1 billion because of everything that I saw up and down the coastline. I mean, you know, all you have to do is look at the pictures and you see the boats torn up and you see all the stuff that's thrown into the streets. And like I said, the calamity, and you can just start to click and imagine in your mind, you know, how much the damage is. In Ocean City, Maryland, there were people that ignored evacuation orders and, you know, they went to see the waves. People went to see the waves and stood on the boardwalk and they thought it was okay. And it was, you know, it was relatively okay in Ocean City, Maryland, but not so if you had gone onto some of those jetties in North Carolina. You would have been knocked out and drowned, I'm sure. I don't know how you could have survived that with some of those waves. And again, the water smashing you and grabbing you. So there were also problems with cell phone service because that was knocked out. In Virginia, they had problems with that. In North Carolina, they had problems with that. In parts of New Jersey, they had problems. There was also people that didn't even have landline service. You know, there's always that debate. Are you old school or new school? Do you say, I'm not paying that $29 for landline service. Why do I need that? I don't need that service. Forget it. I'm going all cell because I'm paying too much money for phone service as well. And then other people just, you know, people even in their 20s and 30s, late 20s and 30s, don't feel comfortable without a landline, although mostly that's older people. So even the landline service was knocked out in a lot of cases. It didn't matter. So if you were feeling like that was your security blanket, the blanket was torn up because the service wasn't working at all, kaput, nothing. What happened, to just re-rack this for a second for those of you who slept over the weekend and didn't have to deal with Irene. Irene hit the U.S. on Saturday morning over North Carolina. It was a Category 1 hurricane then. Remember, we kept talking about the numbers. What if it's 120-mile-an-hour winds? So it hit as a Category 1. But by Sunday, it was reduced to a tropical storm near New York. So in the Northeast, flooding was the big thing. The rain, the soak. I mean, heavy, heavy rain. And that's the thing, what I keep describing, rivers that overflow, that's what happens. The crest, the runoff, all of that, the creeks and the streams. And in New Jersey especially, they got that a lot with some of the highways, with the New Jersey Turnpike. 295, that's a road that I grew up right off of 295 and not passable. Also in Massachusetts, there were problems in some of their low-lying areas, but by that time, we were talking about a tropical storm. So what could have been worse? It could have been worse. It could have been anything from a 1 to a 4. I mean, who knew? At point of times, it was being predicted as a 4. So now I think some people are going to call this the great hype. Although don't tell that to the people who lost family in this terrible storm. Certainly, they don't think so. But I think the further in the Northeast that you're talking about, that's probably more where you would get that it's all about the hype, especially because in New York you had the dramatic press conferences. You had the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, who was going berserk on people who wanted to stay. So, Irene, like I said, in with a little bit of a whimper, kind of exiting the same way. Good night, Irene. Odds and ends on the flip side as we take you back.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
The Little League World Series Championship.
Sweet! USA! USA, baby. Yeah, an American flag draped around Braden Saltzman. I mean, Nick Prado, the guy with the hit. You just heard that. The kid with the hit. The boys from Huntington Beach. They brought the Little League World Series home with a 2-1 win over Japan. How about that for the tournament? So fans were screaming. I said it so big, people were screaming, USA, USA in the stands. I mean,
USA, USA, USA.
That's right, USA. Boy, and Prado's father was just beaming. He was the manager, Jeff Prado, so proud of his kid. I mean, the father is the coach. Can you imagine what that's like for the kid, for the father? And what a perfect and fitting end to this California victory. So California scores in the bottom of the sixth inning. They get to the Little League World Series to the U.S., and they are able to nail it shut with that big win over Japan. And afterwards, here's the Prado clan, Jeff and Nick.
When he came up, I was just thinking Red Bluff game. You know, that's all I was thinking. I knew he'd do something with it. And this is great. It hasn't hit me yet.
Unbelievable. Greatest moment of my life. That hit. That felt good coming off the bat. I knew it was over.
And, you know, it's interesting. We were talking so much about Mother Nature. The first pitch was actually delayed 3 hours because you had the outer bands of Irene that dumped a little bit more rain than they thought to the Williamsport area, but they were still able to get the game in, obviously. And what a huge win. How exciting for the kids from California. And such a close game. Such a close game. Lots of different chances here. Pretty cool. Wow. So that tops odds and ends. I also said that we were going to let you hear what Colin Powell had to say. We're going to do that here, too, in a second. So we go from one extreme to the other, from a shot with a victory and then a shot that's called a cheap one. What happened was former Secretary of State Colin Powell was part of this Sunday swirl, naturally, and it's not surprising that Dick Cheney would talk about him in his book. He says, you know, it's just cheap shots, basically, because, of course, Powell, with the whole weapons of mass destruction, it's obvious that he would be somewhere in the book anyway. And Dick Cheney repeatedly said that, you know, Washington was going to quake and people's heads were going to explode and all this kind of stuff over what he has to say in his book, his brand new book called In My Time. So here's a little snippet of Powell and addressing what Cheney said in the book, In My Time.
My head isn't exploding. I haven't noticed any other heads exploding in Washington, D.C. What I've read in the newspapers and seen on television, it's essentially a rehash of events of 7 or 8 years ago.
But, Colin, it's called hype. Don't you understand what hype is? You relive it, build it up, and make it even that much bigger. So, one thing he did say is that Cheney wrongly took credit for his resignation from the State Department in 2004. Powell said he always planned to serve only 4 years, and that was it. And he labeled as almost condescending the tone of Cheney's criticism of Condi Rice, who succeeded him as Secretary of State. And one of the interesting things that Powell said is that Cheney had a long and distinguished career, and he hopes that the book, that whatever he focuses on aren't all these cheap shots that he's taking, because that's just a pity that he does that. And, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing about you're out of office, you're done, and you cannot sell. When you're one of these guys, you cannot sell a book without any controversy. There got to be some juicy nuggets that are thrown out there to the wolves, so they sell books. Unlike my book, Level the Playing Field, which you can get on Amazon.com. That's a cheap plug. There's no cheap shots in my book, except for at Matt Johnson. Wait till he reads what I said about him. Oh, all right, let's go out to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam. I'm good. How are you?
Let's just say we'll call him Noah's Ark and see if he'll build it. See if he'll build us an ark.
Did you hear what I said, that I have a book out, Sam? Do you know that I have a book? Yes. I have a book called Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS.
Oh.
It just came out last week.
Oh, okay. So I'll look for it in a bookstore.
Yeah. Or Amazon. If you get it on Amazon, it's cheap. It's under $10. Canadian dollars, it'd be probably even cheaper.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, we got tail end of Irene.
Yes, I know, going to Canada. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were giving us an update. You're getting a lot of rain.
Yeah, we got rain and wind. In fact, I was refing a football game today, and the field was like a quagmire, to put it bluntly. Like one team was wearing white shirts. By halftime, they were all, like, muddied. So anytime we called a penalty against that team, it'd be like, which player was it? You know, we had to number, and if that team scored a touchdown, we had to go to the coach. Okay, would that player put up his hand who scored the touchdown? What number are you? And then we had to relay it to the scorer and all that. So it wasn't. It was interesting, to say the least. But, I mean, some places, right now it's going out to Atlanta, Canada, and, you know, they're prepared. And here, I mean, some places did lose power. On my street, there were some branches that fell over, but not trees like in other areas. So, I mean, we got it, but not as bad as, let's say, the as bad as Carolina or Maryland. And you mentioned Philadelphia, and you're from, I know you're originally from Southern Jersey. Anybody in your family get shout out?
They did get, they did feel it. They did get flooding and tree limbs and all that kind of stuff, and it was scary, and especially down the Jersey Shore. But thank goodness nobody in my family had their house swacked or floating somewhere or anything, so that's excellent news. But in parts of New Jersey, especially where you were closer to the river and stuff, it was a little scarier.
Yeah, because Judy has a satellite dish, so she gets the American affiliates in Boston, so they were showing you know, from everything, Martha's Vineyards, Cape Cod.
Yeah.
And then you saw some idiots, I mean, as the tide was coming in, out for a swim, and they were making a joke. And I think it was a big deal. I'm thinking, blankety blank blank, what the blank are you guys doing, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and then I went out and refereed a football game, and I was speaking to a friend of mine in Queens, early this morning, because I know it hit in New York City, where they live in Far Rockaway, and she was saying that the power went out twice. They got maybe 2 or 3 inches of water in the basement, but that was it. But school is supposed to start tomorrow, and it's going to be closed. And I bet you some kids are really disappointed.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was. It's funny that you say that. That's exactly what I was thinking. When you're a kid, that's what you look at. You hear the news.
Right.
You're listening to the news, and people talk about whatever the threatening weather is, snow, et cetera, and you are so hoping that you're going to have that day off. Sam, thanks. Stay dry. All right. You know, I got to mention this because last week we did a little segment on the MTV Awards. If you go back in your history, you remember that in 84, the first ever MTV Awards were handed out. And MTV did its show on Sunday, if you're listening to me. So what was interesting is, I guess they did it. Matt, did they do their show on Sunday? I didn't even look to see if they did it.
Who?
Sunday show, you don't even know, MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, yeah, they did
Sunday
do it
show, they did do it, because Katy Perry won a big award.
I have
you
no
don't
idea.
Even know, you're
I have
like
no
me.
Idea about that.
Entertainment news.
I do know that they went down tonight, but I have no idea who won or whatever happened. But it's
Amy
pretty funny
Winehouse.
That they're hosting a Video Music Awards, because MTV doesn't even play videos
I know.
Anymore.
I know. Actually, that's probably the best point of telling you this. And we do know that Katy Perry won a big female award for, you know, the vocalist with the best video, blah, blah, blah. But it just goes to show you that this is not a typical entertainment show here on America Tonight. We know that a few people won, and that I really liked Amy Winehouse's music, and they did a great tribute. I did see a little snippet of that. They did a great tribute to her, which was probably smart. But I don't know, how do you have a music video award show when, as Matt said, you do not play videos? Ponder that. If you come up with an answer, send it to me at americatonight.net.